Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
We are now ready for the last section of Psalm 119, the final letter in the Hebrew alphabet, the letter Tav. And again, in each of these sections that we have studied together, these 22 sections, each one of them begins with a different Hebrew letter. The first one, of course, is the Aleph. And now we've gone through the entire Aleph Bet, and now we're ready for the letter Tav. And what we're going to see here is that there is an emphasis, again, upon the Word of God. In fact, we're going to see that there are two different terms in Hebrew that relate to the Word of God, what God has spoken, what He has proclaimed to humanity as a way of teaching us about His character and about His expectations for us. And we can summarize all of this by saying that God expects us to behave as He would behave, to do the things that He would do and not do the things that He would not do. And all of that is for one primary purpose. We, through redemption, we are adopted into the family of God. And therefore, we're supposed to be like our Heavenly Father. And that is why Messiah has entered into this world and saved us and caused us to be a new creation in the Messiah, that we would express the character of God. And we can summarize this by saying, when we express God's character in this world, we are living a worshipful life. We are honoring Him, and we are to be used by Him in a way to reveal His glory to others, His presence in our life, and His presence in a situation. So God wants to use us to manifest Himself, that people might see the living God in the life of the people of God. Well, with that said, open up your Bibles and look with me to Psalm 119. And we're ready now for this last section that begins with verse 169. Again, the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, beginning with 169, that verse. Word says, my. And this word we have encountered before. It's a word of shouting, a word of strong emotion. It is to exclaim something, and usually has to do with exclaiming, proclaiming, declaring that God has entered into this situation with us, that He is present in our lives and in our circumstances. Now, this word represents, in this context, a prayer. So the author is shouting with joy, and that joy represents confidence that he believes, he expects, because of his knowledge of God and because of the Word of God, we could say it differently, the promises of God, that God's going to respond. So he says, my shout, others would say my prayer, will draw close before you, O Lord. So this prayer is going to make its way close to the Lord. And then he says, according to your word, make me to understand. Now, this is a hifil verb, which is the causative. So the psalmist is saying, God, according to your word, what you have revealed, what you have spoken, make me to have an understanding of this word. Now, why is that? He wants to understand the word of God so that he can do the will of God. Why? This is his new nature. He understands that through a relationship with God called a redemptive relationship, that he has become a new creation, and we can summarize that, he has become a servant of God. See, before redemption, we can say that again a little bit differently, before one is saved, that person can know that God exists, that person can read the scripture and find out things about God, but that person, before redemption, cannot serve God, cannot worship God, cannot experience God. So he might have a knowledge of God, but that knowledge isn't going to change him. It is only when he is moved by God's revelation to be redeemed, seek this reconciliation with God through redemption. And redemption always involves the shedding of blood, that giving of blood. That's why Messiah laid down his life. And so we see here that he wants to be made to understand according to your word. Move on to the next verse, verse 170, where he says, "Will come before you my request." Now, notice here, this has to do with specifically a request, or this word can relate to a supplication. What is a supplication? A supplication is a desire for God's grace. The word here for supplicate or a request derives from the word chen, which is one of the Hebrew words used for grace. So he says here, my supplication, it will come before you according to your word. And notice, he says, according to your word, and this is in the sense of your promises, what you have revealed to us concerning your ways and who you are and how you deal with your people. He says here, deliver me. Now, we see something. We see that he is seeking grace, and he understands that grace is that key element that delivers us. And he's going to deliver us how? Notice what he says, according to your word. This is very important. What he's saying is this. The word of God is inherently related to the will of God. And he wants deliverance. He wants God's help in order that he might live, and this is the key, according to the word of God. So let me ask you, if you have been saved, you have become a new creation, and you are a servant of God, and you are called to serve him according to the instructions of his word. And therefore, God is going to deliver. He is going to move in our circumstances to assist us when we are faithful to his word, that we have a desire to obey his word. Look now to Psalm 119 and verse 171. He says here, my lips will express praise, for you have taught me your statutes. Now, this word for statute is the word that relates to the word for law. And what we see here, it's not the Torah that's used here. That word is going to be used in a few moments. But it's a word that relates to the ordinances, the precepts, the statutes. But we can translate it simply as your law. Now, notice something. He says, my lips will express praise. Why? For you have taught me your laws. He's praising God for knowing the right thing to do. That God has given him revelation, that he has given him understanding on what is the purpose of God. Understand, there is an inherent relationship between the law of God and the will of God. And he understands, and he's praising God that God has taught him his precepts, ordinances, his laws, because this brings him into a situation whereby he can experience God. So he's praising God for the knowledge of the rules of God, the laws of God. Now, verse 172, he says, "My tongue will answer your word." So now he's saying here that he is going to respond, his tongue is going to respond with your word, meaning he's going to speak the word of God. "For all of your commandments are righteous." Now, this is another foundational truth. The law does not make us righteous, but the law defines what is righteous and therefore also what is unrighteous. So we see that there's two types of commandments according to the law. There are commandments, la'asot, meaning to do, and there are those commandments that tell us what not to do. When we violate those commandments that we ought not break, this expresses unrighteousness. So when God says, "You shall not do this," and we do, we are doing that which is unrighteous. When God says, "You shall do this," and we do, then we're going to be expressing righteousness. But the law of God is a tool that reveals, that defines, that makes known to us what is righteous and what is unrighteous. So he says, "My tongue will answer your word." He's going to speak the word of God. "For all of your commandments are righteous." Verse 173. "Your hand shall be for a help to me." For your commands, and these are oral commandments, he says, "For your commandments I have chosen." Now, notice the relationship. It's when we choose the orders of God, the commands of God, the instructions of God, then we can expect that God's hand, meaning power, his actions, his deeds, are going to become a help for us. So realize, if you're not interested in obeying God, then don't expect the help of God. God helps those who are committed to his word, that want to recognize his authority over their life in every aspect. That's what we're called to do. And when we do that, what are we actually bringing about? Intimacy with God. There's many people that are believers. They have been saved by God's grace, and they will be in the kingdom of God, but they're not living a God-pleasing life. They don't have a testimony. They're not bearing witness in a way that shows that God is the Lord of their life. And that's one of the things we should be praying diligently. God, I want people to look at me and for them to see that you are my Lord, that I submit to you, that I recognize your absolute authority over me, and that I am your servant. And another word we can use is the word slave. So he says here, "Your hand will be for a help to me." Why? Because your laws or orders or commands I have chosen. Verse 174. Now, this is a strong word. We use this word to express a yearning, not just a want or desire, something that goes beyond that, something that is rooted in a strong passion. So he says in this verse, "I have desired intensely, passionately. I am totally committed for what? Your salvation." Now, what does that mean? Well, what he's saying here is this word salvation, I've said this many times before, salvation is a word of victory. And what he says is, "I have desired for your salvation." It just doesn't mean he wants to be saved, he wants to be delivered. He's already said those things. In this verse, what's he saying? that he has greatly desired, that he has longed for, that he is passionate about the Lord's victory, his salvation, his triumph over all things. And notice he says, I have desired for your salvation, O Lord, meaning that your will would be manifested. That's what victory is. When the will of God is being expressed, done, completed. And then he says, and notice, we see a relationship between salvation here and what? Your law. Now, this is why it's so important to understand Hebrew poetry and the laws of it. When we look here, we find that there is a relationship between two words, and that is the word for your salvation and your Torah. Notice that we see both are feminine, both are in a construction where the suffix is second person singular relating to the Lord. So we see that these two words are grammatically connected together. That's how we know what is parallel to one another. So he says, I have longed, I have yearned, I have been passionate, I have a zeal, however you want to translate that. I have a zeal for your salvation, O Lord, and your Torah is my delight. Now, this tells us something. A salvation experience is going to place the commandments of God before us, and we're going to delight in them. We're going to see that they are a source of joy and gladness and happiness. So he says here, I have strongly desired for your salvation, O Lord. Now, it can mean for him to be saved, but in this case, I believe it's better to see this as he wants the purposes of God to be achieved. He wants the will of God to be manifested. And when that happens, the reason why Torah is mentioned here is because Torah is inherently tied to righteousness. So we see that salvation produces righteousness. That is the outcome. And it's righteousness that is his delight. It's not a burden. It's not that he has to. He chooses. He is passionate, committed for living that victorious life that's going to manifest the righteousness of God. Now look at verse 175. He says here, my soul will be, literally says, my soul sustain or make alive. And he says, I will praise you. So he says, my soul, make alive. It's a word of resurrection. It's a word of giving life to. So he says, make alive my soul. And what will happen? He says, and I will come and praise you. And your judgments, they will help me. Now, what does this tell us here? It tells us that when we experience that new life from God, when we become that new creation, yes, we want to praise God, but also we understand that God's judgments, and what do we mean by that? We're not using judgment in the sense of punishment. We're using judgment, as I've said many times before, in the sense of evaluating something. And placing a value and estimation on it. So we find that the law of God, the commandments of God, the word of God allows us to know God's evaluation of something, whether he approves or disapproves, whether it's pleasing to him or not pleasing to him. And what he is saying here is this, through this resurrection experience, meaning becoming a new creation, That experience is going to lead him to praise God, but also that the values of God, the judgments of God, the evaluations of God are going to be a help to him. So we need to have the mind of God. Why? So that we can experience the help from God. Because when we have the mind, and we can say the mind of the Messiah, we're going to make right decisions. And those right decisions that are based upon God's evaluating what God judges to be right and what he judges to be wrong, when we do the right thing, we're going to find his help. Let's look at one more verse, 176, our last verse, where he says, I have erred. Now, this is a word for going astray. And he says, I have gone astray like a lamb or a sheep that is perishing. And then he says, seek your servant. Now, the word here, bakesh, can mean to request, to seek. But here, underneath the biblical Hebrew, we have a modern Hebrew word, which is also biblical. And that word talks about seeking something, pursuing something, going after someone. It's very similar to the parable Messiah in the book of Luke chapter 15, that opening parable of the lost sheep. And the shepherd, what will he do? He will leave the 99 and he will pursue that one. So he says here, I've erred as a perishing sheep. And therefore he says, seek, look for your servant. Now, why? Well, he's gone astray, but he wants to be brought back. Why? Because he says, for your commandments, I have not forgotten. What does he mean here? He means here that he has, yes, gone astray, but he still has knowledge of the word of God, the instructions of God, the law of God, the commandments of God. And his heart desire is for this reconciliation, that he would be found. Why? So that he can be renewed, that he can be restored, and that he can once again carry out the will of God, the purposes of God, that he can do the commandments of God. And there's one more point that I want to bring out about this word commandment. And that is, it's related to a word that speaks of unity. And the big takeaway here is this, that it's only when we are doing the commandments of God, of course, how do we do that? In a new way, through the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when we walk in him, as Paul says in Romans 8, verse 4, when we walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, we are going to fulfill the righteousness of the law, not according to the letter of the law, but the Spirit, the intent of the law. And therefore, the commandments of God, when we take hold of them and under the leadership of the Spirit of God, apply them to our life, what are we going to experience? Well, that word commandment, mitzvah, is derived from a word which means together or unity. So the commandments of God, do they save us? They do not. But the commandments of God reveal righteousness, and the commandments of God, when we take hold of them through the Spirit of God, having been redeemed, and we're living under the anointing of the Spirit, those commandments, when we apply them correctly to our life under the leadership of the Spirit, we are going to experience unity with God. We are going to find togetherness with him. Through what? Through obedience. And that's why it's so important to talk about obedience, submissiveness, recognizing God's authority. Because it's when we do that, that we are going to be brought together with him in an experiential way. See, we who are in Messiah, we've been reconciled to God. But the question is, am I experiencing that reconciliation? Am I benefiting from that? And if so, how exactly? Well, the how should be by taking hold of the instructions of God and manifesting righteousness. Because when righteousness is manifested, God's glory is going to be seen by others and people are going to be brought to him. They are going to know the truth of his word. And that's what a servant of God is called to demonstrate, the word of God in action, so that they can see the power of God in their life, in their circumstances, in what's going on, in order that they might turn away from their ways and embrace the good ways of God. Well, we've concluded this long psalm, Psalm 119, and it's a psalm that upholds God's word using many, many different words, whether we're talking about commandments or law or precepts or statutes or ordinances or orders. All of these relate to the word of God and how we should cherish it, respect it, revere it, and do the word of God. If you do, you'll never regret being obedient to what God has taught us in his word. I'll close with that until next time, and we begin a new psalm, Psalm 120. Until then, shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with him. Shalom from Israel.